Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 48. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, earth, fire, sky, and water. You are the object of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross. The material elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. Purport. This is the all-pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which explains how He spreads everywhere and anywhere. Sarvam Kal Vidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. The Supreme Brahman, Krishna. Everything is Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. Nothing exists without Him. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam Jagad Avyakta Murtina Matstani Sarabhutani Nachaham Teshvavastitaha. I exist everywhere and everything exists in me, yet I am not visible everywhere. The Lord can be visible only through devotional service. Tatra Tishtami Narada Yatra Kayanti Madbhakta. The Supreme Lord stays only where His devotees chant His glories. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthai Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tunamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvisesa Shnunivadi Paskatya De Sitarne. We'll read something from a paper by Jayadvaita Swami. For those who can still hear the here, they'll be able to appreciate. There's a paper that he gave to some of the devotees in Mayapur. It's entitled Noise-Induced Hearing Loss, What It Is and What It Means to ISKCON Devotees, Including You. A preliminary report by Jayadvaita Swami. Last month, an audiologist confirmed to me something I suspected. I have partially lost my hearing. Can everyone hear this? One may lose one's hearing for many reasons, because of disease or old age, or a blow to the head, or a close exposure to the sound of blasts or gunshots. But the tests of my hearing show the typical signature of another kind of problem, hearing loss from prolonged exposure to noise. Well, it doesn't have to be noise, by which I mean disturbing or unpleasant sounds. One can also lose one's hearing because of sounds one might find pleasant, like the sound of rock music or classical or drums and cartels. Hearing, loss of hearing, temporary and permanent. Noise-induced hearing loss is two components, temporary and permanent. If you've ever attended a rock concert, for example, you may be familiar with temporary hearing loss. After the concert, you may have found your ears ringing and ordinary sounds may have seemed muffled. The ringing is a response from your assaulted auditory nerves. And that muffled effect comes from what is called a temporary threshold shift. That is, after the blasting music, other sounds now need to be louder before you can hear them. In temporary hearing loss, after a few minutes or a few hours, the ringing stops and your hearing goes back to normal. But when loud sounds fall upon your ears repeatedly over a prolonged time for months and years, the threshold shift becomes permanent. Your hearing loss is then irreversible. The site of damage responsible for this loss is the cochlea, a small-shaped chamber within the inner ear. The cochlea is a home to 20,000 to 30,000 minute hair cells that transmit sound to the auditory nerve. Prolonged and excessive exposure to noise injures and finally destroys those cells. Once destroyed, the cells never come back. How loud is the sound? The loudness of sounds is measured in units called decibels, just as temperature is measured in degrees. Note, however, that unlike degrees, decibels are not absolute units. Measurement in decibels are logarithmic, not linear. Imagine, if you will, a thermometer in which going up from 70 degrees to 73 means getting twice as hot. From 70 to 76 means four times hotter. And from 70 to 79 means eight times hotter. That is the idea. Every time the sound level goes up 3 decibels, the sound gets twice as loud. How loud are sounds we're accustomed to hearing? Here's a list that will give you a basic idea. 0 decibels, threshold of hearing in use. 10 decibels, anechoic room, that means silent room. 30 decibels, quiet library. 45 decibels, average residence. 55 decibels, normal conversation. 60 decibels, large store or air conditioner. 70 decibels, vacuum cleaner 10 feet away, freight train 100 feet away. 75 decibels, average factory. 80 decibels, alarm clock, normal traffic, loud orchestra, pneumatic drill from 50 feet. 85 decibels, start of unsafe levels. 90 decibels, lawnmower, motorcycle, city traffic, boiler room, printing press room, subway train from 20 feet. 100 decibels, riveting machine. 110, thunder, pile driver, amplified rock music. 120 decibels, car stereo at full blast. 125 decibels, jet takeoff from 20 feet away. 130 decibels, pain threshold. So loudness of sound depends, of course, on how far you are from its source, how clear the path between the sound and you, and what happens to the sound along the way. For example, a sound made outdoors might be moderately loud, but the same sound made in a small closed room with smooth walls will ricochet many times over, and its effect will be more intense. How loud is an ISKCON kirtan? I'm sure you all. I cannot say for everywhere, but according to a series of readings in sound level meter, here's what is in the temple room in Alachua. A typical Guru Puj kirtan with 3 drums, 2 or 3 sets of kartels, 2 moderate-sized wampers, and the usual amplification comes to around 100 decibels with a sustained crescendo of 106 to 110. That's equal to 110 is amplified rock music, pile driver or a thunder. What does that sound level of sound present? Does that level of sound present a danger to hearing? Read on. Listen on if you can. It happens without your knowing. The pitch or frequency of sounds is measured in units called hertz. Young children may hear sounds as low as 16 hertz, lower in pitch than the lowest note on a piano, and as high as 20,000, well above the highest note on a piccolo. As we grow older, the upper limit comes down, so many adults can hear sounds above 12,000 hertz. The range of the frequencies for speech extend from about 200 hertz to about 6,000. Music, of course, extends higher. What happens in noise-induced hearing loss is that you start to lose your high frequencies. Typically, the tones around 4,000 hertz are the first to go. You may still hear those tones, but only when they're louder than before. Young, healthy ears pick up sounds as soft as 10 or 20 decibels. With noise-induced hearing loss, you may not hear those sounds unless they're many times louder, say 50 decibels. The next tones to go might be in the range of 6,000 and 8,000 hertz. As the hairs in your inner ear that respond to those frequencies are gradually damaged and then destroyed. At this stage, you are unlikely to notice what's happening. The main sounds you're conscious of are those sounds of speech, which mostly occupy the lower frequencies, 2,000 hertz and below. Some consonants like S, F, T, and Z do extend into the higher frequencies, but even when you fail to hear them, your mind automatically uses the context given by other letters to supply the sounds you've missed. So hearing seems to go on as normal. You're losing your hearing, and you don't even know it. Noise-induced hearing loss progresses very slowly. It usually takes many months and often years. Along the way, you feel no pain, see no blood or bruises. You don't realize what's happening. Next, however, the losses in the higher frequencies may become greater, and the lower tones may also start to give way. Now you start having trouble hearing speech. Actually, you can still hear it, but you start having trouble distinguishing what's being said. Now you might start to complain about your hearing, but by now the damage is done is severe, irreversible, and perhaps even seriously handicapping. Another problem I should mention, I mentioned it briefly before, is what's technically called tinnitus, from a Latin word meaning to ring. This is a ringing, buzzing, whistling, or other such sound in the ear. Though disturbing, it is generally temporary. When damage in the inner ear has brought about a permanent loss in hearing, a ringing tinnitus may go on for many years. Tinnitus, says one authority, does not commonly occur from exposure to everyday occupational noise, but it does occur in employees who are exposed to very high-pitched, intense noise, such as pounding of metal upon metal in foundries. Like noise-induced hearing loss itself, tinnitus has no known cure. You just have to learn to live with it. How much can you take? It is generally accepted that when sound is excessively loud, the longer you're exposed to it, the more you put your hearing at risk. What's a safe dose of loud sound? This is a question to which much research and discussion has been devoted. The research has evolved, in particular, for the need to protect people from excessive noise in the workplace, especially the military and industrial workplace. In America, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has set standards limiting the time to which employees can let their workers be exposed to various levels of sound. Here are the standards. 90 decibels, hours per day, 8 hours, 92, 6 hours, 95, 4, 97, 3, 100, 2, 102, 1 hour to and a half, 105, 1 hour, 110, 1/2 hour, 115, a quarter hour or less. These numbers, however, represent legal standards, not medical or scientific ones. They belong to rules meant to help protect the hearing of workers, protect employers in lawsuits brought by workers with hearing impaired. Comments B. Adam Sagan, a lawyer in graduate degrees in audiology and speech pathology. Both medical experts and speech scientists agree that the standard issued by OSHA are more a result of political compromise than scientific validity. This is underscored by Donald C. Cassaway, one of America's foremost experts on hearing loss and hearing conservation. Quote, many people have suffered a noise-induced loss because they were led to believe that the higher levels of noise could be tolerated if the duration of exposure was less than some magic number. Such belief comes from what, in my opinion, is the misapplication of auditory risk criteria. If a given assessment states that 100 decibels is associated with a dose of 30 minutes per day, that may be a general acceptance that the risk is nullified if the duration is 1/2 the allowed dose, such as 15 minutes. I consider adoption of this belief a primary contributor to noise-induced losses. I have learned to respect seriously the danger of such high-level exposure, even for 2 minutes. In my opinion, those who provide guidance concerning such exposures should adopt a more cautious approach. As reported in Health News, published by the University of Toronto, at a level of 110 decibels, even 5 minutes of unremitting exposure can lead to some hearing loss. Mind you, that's normal kirtan is between 100 and 110. Health news. Summarize things this way. To determine whether your environment is loud enough to harm the ears, check whether you have to shout to make yourself heard, or if when you leave a noisy environment, sound seems muffled. If yes, the noise level is too high and already injuring your ears. While entirely preventable, noise-induced hearing loss is also entirely incurable. According to the U.S. National Institutes of Health, millions of North Americans are at risk of hearing loss from noisy work situations, especially farmers, truck drivers, miners, industrial and construction workers, policemen and musicians. Playing the orchestra or rock band can be a very noisy job. The currently suggested level at which hearing protection should begin on a voluntary basis, no laws about it, is 85 decibels. According to ear specialists, it should be mandatory at 90 decibels. People with jobs that expose them to noise over 85 decibel level for a prolonged time should wear personal hearing protectors, earplugs, or earmuffs, and turn the volume down during recreational activities. Remember that levels from rock bands and personal stereos may far exceed the danger limit. Then it goes on that legal concerns. As mentioned above, noise-induced hearing loss also has a legal dimension. Workers who can show that noise on the job has led to hearing loss can often make their employers pay tens of thousands of dollars in compensation. Presumably, though I haven't yet looked into it, if a student at school or some other such institution suffers a noise-induced hearing loss for which the school can be shown responsible, the school leaves itself open to a lawsuit. What this means to ISKCON. How all this pertains to ISKCON should by now be reasonably obvious. As part of our prescribed routine program, we expose ourselves and those for whom we are responsible to levels of sound well within the range where loss of hearing should be a matter of concern. Drums and cartels are loud to begin with, and lately cartels of giant size have come to be something of a fashion. We play our instruments indoors in what are often small rooms with low ceilings and smooth walls and floors, and then we electronically amplify the sound. Beyond this, the devotees generally have little or no education about the physical effects of loud sound on the ears can be. And so during kirtan, we turn up the volume to a maximum, and we even see devotees playfully using cartels as if to box the ears of other devotees. Within my own experience last year, one senior devotee came up close to me during kirtan as if to whisper something in my ear and then shout at the top of his lungs, "Govinda!" We sometimes have ill-formed ideas about how to express our ecstasy. We are responsible, of course, for large numbers of people, including children. We want them to be fit and healthy for devotional service, and we are ethically accountable for their welfare, and often legally so as well. Apart from this, from that, we can suppose that people more cautiously protective of their hearings may be hesitant to join in the Hare Krishna movement as word gets around that a disproportionate number of its members eventually need hearing aids and acoustic earmuffs, stopping it from happening. Noise-induced hearing loss, though permanent and irreversible, is largely preventable. The way to prevent it is through what is known as hearing conservation program. Such programs have been in place in all branches of the U.S. military since the 1950s, and U.S. law has made them mandatory in high-noise industrial environments since 1971. Such a program is appropriate and important for any organization that expects its members to be regularly exposed to high levels of sound. An effective hearing conservation program generally has 7 parts. 1, measuring levels of exposure. 2, controlling the level of sound. 3, testing the hearing of your people. 4, seeing to the use of ear protectors. 5, educating and motivating your people. 6, keeping records. And 7, seeing how well your program is doing. So, rather than read this whole thing, it's pretty obvious. Closing remarks there. Now, I hope I've alerted you and somewhat informed you Take it lightly, if you will, but be warned. If you ignore all this, soon you and other devotees may wind up expanding the ocean of Krishna's glories by often repeating a new mantra. Could you say that again? So this is not to be taken lightly, because the members that are moving so far that I know of, who've had their hearing tested, have all shown more or less substantial hearing loss. Indradumi Swami, for instance, he went to one auditory specialist and found out that now he's partially deaf and he has to wear a hearing aid. Similarly, Ramai Swami, Chaidwaita Swami, and a considerable number of, practically everyone who's gone to who's gone to an auditory specialist has found out that he's partially deaf. They have hearing of people 60, 70 years old. Therefore, as it was discussed yesterday with Hridaya Chaitanya Puru and Prema Siddhi Puru, and also Deva Prasuru also confirmed it. Well, one thing is that these wampers that are in the temple, they're actually meant for the outside during big festivals. That the degree of our ecstasy cannot be measured by the intensity of the noise created by these wampers. In other words, it's not that the louder the wampers are, the more our ecstasy will increase. Therefore, the wampers will be taken away. And placed in some place where it can be used for Harinam. Let the people in the street beware. And also, I imagine there'll be just two or three pairs of cartels in the temple room, because that's all that's needed. And that way, perhaps, although we may have already be too far gone, still the future generations of devotees who come, they can be protected. The conclusion is, if you don't find so many cartels and you don't find the wampers, don't feel bad about it. Feel enlivened that Krishna is protecting you. Also, the drums, there's only need in this temple room for one drum. In the beginning of the movement, no one knew how to play cartels. And there was only one drum. Because, same reason, no one knew how to play the drum either. But the drum and the cartels, it says in the Artik song in the evening, it said the drum very sweetly was playing, and the cartels chimed in time. That's even in the Udira Aruna Puraja Bhaje. That this is it never said the drums were beating and everyone went deaf. And after they became deaf from the beating of the drums, then the cartels completely created a ringing sound in their ears that never stopped. Therefore, those who play the drum should play it sweetly, and the cartel should chime in time and should be very, very sweetly played. It's not the idea that the louder they sound, the better they are. Are there any questions about this? Yes. Well, Prabhupada said that one should not practice the instruments during kirtan. Practice should be outside. Therefore, those who don't know how to play, they shouldn't play. If they want to practice, they should practice someplace out in the forest here. That way all the disturbing animals will flee. Will be protected. But just those who know how to play the instruments should play them. Otherwise, they should practice in their own time by themselves. Is anyone very expert at playing the mridanga here? Does anyone actually know how to play the mridanga? So, why don't you try and get some lessons from Mahavishnu Maharaj, therefore learn, not that's should be. There's a science of learning how to play these things. Yeah. Of course, by playing that, like learning from that book, you can't really learn the Madanga. They don't really have any beats in it that you can. They only have one or two beats you can actually use in kirtan. Most it's just practicing the rhythm and the beats, but not. They don't really have kirtan beats in there. There's one very expert devotee in the Gurukul. He's a professional mridanga player. Especially if there's only two of them. Any questions? Yeah. Well, if you have it in the temple, you usually get 200 devotees in the temple here. What's that? Well, if you have... I mean, the instruments are simply supposed to help the hearing and chanting of the holy name. So that you have to... As long as you can hear the holy name. But if there's so many devotees, they'll all be chanting. They just have to be able to hear the mridanga. But in an area like this, you'd have to be deaf not to hear the mridanga and the kartals, no matter how many people you have in here. Probably. Because people steal the kartals. They accumulate in the temple, and then in the temple where they accumulate, due to their sinful reaction of stealing the kartals, they all go deaf. It's a karmic reaction for stealing kartals in Mayapur. Anything else? Yes. Well, the chanting generally won't. It's not that. If you amplify the chanting, it's one thing. But generally, it's not necessary. What is your opinion, Vijay Chaitanya? Do you have to amplify kirtan? So this verse is all about how Krishna is all-pervading. So that was more or less the topic of our conversation anyhow. How Krishna is pervading everything in his sound vibration. And how sometimes we get into too much ecstasy. But as it says, Tatra Tishtami Narada Yatra Gayanti Madhvakta. That if we simply chant the holy name, then Krishna is present there. Even if we don't have wampas and loud sounding mridangas, still Krishna will be there. And that way everyone will be happy. So thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Iskand hearing ki.